Now, in verse 2, I read, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband." Now we come to the part that should interest us. This is where we're going to live. When you talk about going to heaven, what do you think about? It's, to most people, just the beautiful Isle of somewhere. Well, it's a definite place. It's a city called the New Jerusalem. It's a planet within itself. And we're going to see that as we get into this section. This is a great section. And very candidly, very little is said in Scripture about heaven. But here it is. And that's the reason this ought to be important to us. How'd you like to spend Christmas in heaven? It'll be better in Southern California, I know that. He says, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride." Now, I can't think of a lovely description of this than that. A bride, made ready as a bride. This New Jerusalem shouldn't be identified, by the way, with the old Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem down here. Now, let me come back to this. I say I can't think of a lovelier figure, and the reason is this. It's been my privilege, in a long pastorate, to have married several hundred couples that have stood before me. And I've made this statement many times. I have never seen an ugly bride. They're always lovely. At the wedding, first thing that happens is that after they get through the solos, there comes the wedding march, and here comes the preacher. I walk out from the side, and then there comes the best man and the bridegroom. And nobody pays any attention to him except his mama. She's sitting down, and she smiles at him. She thinks he's wonderful, but nobody else looks at him. But in a minute, here comes the bride-to-be. And I tell you, everybody stands up and looks at her. And I've never yet seen an ugly bride. My wife, when I used to return from a wedding that she didn't attend, she'd always ask me the question, "Was the bride beautiful?" And I'd always say, "Yes." Never seen an ugly one. Don't think I'm just a doting old man when I say that. I have seen some of these brides before they got married, and I wondered whether they're going to be able to make it. And then I've seen them after the wedding. And I tell you, I wondered if it was the same girl who came down there. But you know, God gives to them at that time a radiance and a beauty. And to me, that's a thrilling moment when you look down the aisle, and especially for the bridegroom, and see the one that you're going to make your own. She's yours. What a picture. And as I say, I never seen an ugly one yet. God seems, for that moment, to just transform every girl into just a lovely bride at that time. And I think the reason he does it is because the New Jerusalem, where we're going to live, is like a bride adorned for her husband. And what a picture that we have here. May I say that this is the first time we get a glimpse of it. I think it's been around. The Lord Jesus said he was going 1,900 years ago to prepare a place for you. And he's been preparing this home for his bride, the church. And it's a thing of beauty. We're going to see it in this chapter. He gives the description of it. We're going to have a very happy holiday. We're not thinking of Bethlehem, but thinking of the New Jerusalem, the place toward which the church is moving today. We're pilgrims and strangers down here now. Well, we got a permanent home over there. Now, this New Jerusalem is the habitation, the eternal home that is prepared for the church. The Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself." And you couldn't have a more lovely and more appropriate picture given, because the church, as we saw at the beginning of the millennial period, and actually before he came to the earth, we saw the marriage of the Lamb, and the bride is the church. And that brings us to this passage here now, And it actually is the fulfillment of what Paul wrote in talking to the Ephesians. He says in the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And I think that there will be, at the judgment seat of Christ, the straightening out and the judging of believers. Everything will have to be straightened out in their lives. Everything that's wrong will have to be corrected, and all sin will be dealt with there. Rewards will be given out. And he's going to do something else. He's going to cleanse the church there with the Word. You know, the Word of God is a mighty cleansing agency, and it is today. "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, this is the picture we're getting here in Revelation 21, that the holy city, the new Jerusalem, is coming down from God out of heaven and adorned as a bride for the husband. You see, the marriage took place before the millennium, and here we're after the millennium now, and this has sure been a long honeymoon, hasn't it? Well, I think it's one that's going to go on into eternity. Now, Paul continues to talk about this marvelous relationship of Christ and the church and comparing it to human marriage down here. Verse 28, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, this idea that it is a mystery is now being opened up to us, you see. The marriage relationship is the most beautiful and wonderful relationship, and it's the oldest ceremony that God has instituted for man is marriage. It goes right back into the very Garden of Eden, to the very beginning, and it's all important, but it's such a profound mystery that even with all these marriage counselors today and all the books they've written, may I say, I don't think they've really touched the fringe of how wonderful marriage could be for believers. And by the way, Paul is talking here not only to believers, but those that are filled with the Spirit. All of these instructions are for Spirit-filled believers here. It's not given to the lost world at all, and it's not given to the average believer. It's given, he says, at the beginning of this section, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the only commandment that you're required to do something about the Holy Spirit. Now, we find here that something that is difficult to understand, and this gives us another sidelight here on marriage. Now, the wife is the same flesh as the man. Somebody says, how can that be? Well, have you ever seen a child, a beautiful child that looked like the mother and had a mean disposition like the father? Well, that's where they come together. That's where they're one flesh. But listen, it's deeper than that. When a man loves his wife, he actually loves himself. And that's true of her. When she loves the husband, she's actually loving herself. And you can't have it any more intimate than that. It's perfect nonsense today. If I injure my foot, I actually don't ignore it. I do all I can to doctor it. I go to the doctor, and I have it maybe put into a cast, and it's all maybe not very pretty, and I'd like to leave my foot at home, but it's part of me. Well, my wife is part of me. She's my flesh. We're the same flesh. That's so difficult today, but that's how intimate it is. And that takes us back, of course, to creation. Now, I can't go into detail today, but you have here in the second chapter of Genesis, let me just read the last three verses. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And it says they both were naked, the man and wife, and were not ashamed. Now, the important thing is about this matter that they were naked, they knew each other. It was an intimate and a very personal relationship. And my feeling today is that one of the great problems in marriage is, especially after a couple gets married, is that they have their first fight, and she turns over maybe in bed, and he is in a huff, and he turns over or gets up and goes to the sofa and lies there. Then they wonder why there's disintegration in the marriage relationship. Well, listen, when that foot gets sick, you don't ignore it. You don't get angry with it. And you don't kick with it. If you do, you're in deeper trouble. The thing that you're to do with the flesh is to do everything you can, doctor it, and try to get it well again. And that's the reason that young couples ought never to have a squabble without sitting down and talking things over. And I very frankly think that the wife ought to be very frank with her husband, tell him everything, how she feels, how he offends her, and what she thinks wrong, and he ought to do the same thing. You see, they're the same flesh. They are one. They've been brought together in this very intimate, this very wonderful relationship where a man leaves his family, his father and his mother and his brother and sisters, where they've all just had a close relationship, and that has ended now. And he has now been joined to a woman, and they are one flesh. They've started a new creation, if you please. And that is what the marriage relation should be. And how wonderful it is to see a family where a man and his wife just don't have anything that is between them. She knows him like a book, and he knows her like a book. They just know each other, and they love each other. Now, until that kind of a relationship is established, my friend, you're going to have trouble in the marriage relationship because God made us that way. In other words, marriage is more than arrangement to live together and sleep together. When a man chooses a wife and a wife accepts a husband, be sure that you understand that you're one flesh and you wouldn't hurt yourself willingly for anything in the world. Oh, if we could only get that over. Now, this is a great mystery, but he says, I'm talking about Christ and the church, and here it is, in heaven. We're going to be like him, we're told. It says, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to have glorified flesh like he's got. We're going to be one with him. We're part of his body. And we're going to be joined to him. And he said that I go to prepare this place, that where I am, there ye may be also. That we can be with him throughout eternity. That, my friend, is going to be the most glorious thing. And as far as I know, no other creature, including the angels of heaven, are going to have that personal and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be the most glorious day. And you talk about celebrating Christmas. My, we're going to celebrate throughout eternity the very fact that we are with Him and that we've been joined to Him.